Item seven.
Do we have time for that Monday?
I go.
You'll just get back.
12:30 work?
12:30?
On Monday?
Yeah, it does for me, but.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Do one? Yeah, let's do one, just make sure I'm back.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock on Monday?
Thanks.
Okay. Item seven, consider and take possible action to establish an audit committee.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm just curious, I'm not recalling the genesis for, my understanding is we have outside auditors who come in and look at this, so the audit committee would then look at that report before it comes to us with recommendations. Why was there a need or a consideration for having audit committee in the consideration that we haven't had an audit committee? I'm just trying to get the perspective here.
It's kind of a best policies.
I see.
Type of thing most.
To do.
Most boards or boards of directors, boards of trustees have an audit committee. This has kind of come about in the last.
I see, okay.
Seven, 8 years.
I didn't know if there was a problem that we were trying to address.
No, no, no.
It's a best practice, okay.
It's a best practice.
Thank you.
Can I just answer that a little further?
Yeah.
So we have had an audit committee, which most recently was 2 years ago when we were considering whether to retain the current audit firm. So some of the things the audit committee would do is they would be the ones sort of managing the audit firm. They would also be participating with staff in the upfront planning of the audit. And perhaps if the committee or, you know, wanted to bring to the board the request to do further audit procedures beyond what is normally planned. Those are some of the considerations. And then it is possible for the audit committee to also be working with, on internal audit issues, which we have a compliance person who is working, you know, with the staff on that. So the audit committee could become involved in all of those things.
And that's fine, the only thing I would have a concern about is I don't believe board members should be interacting, they should be working through staff, meaning Gail and/or your designees, when working with the audit, outside auditors.
Actually, no.
You don't agree with that?
No, because normally the audit itself is a presentation to the board of directors.
Right.
And it is supposed to be an independent process of reporting to the board of directors. So if you have an audit committee, then that becomes sort of an independent function that would, I mean, staff would still be involved in the process, but the audit committee would still be the one helping develop the process of the audit.
Well, see, I see that as two different, I have no problem with them developing the process of the audit and all that, but I would not.
And also which firm is, and we get into this, we've been in this discussion before of should we be putting that out for proposal every so many years?
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I have a problem with board members directly interacting with any contractor, giving direction to that contractor without going through staff. There's a difference between developing processes, but I've been in elected office for 12 years now and I've done audits and they've all been independent. And I just feel very strongly that board members should not be interfering in, I have no problem with being on an audit committee, I have no problem with them developing the scope or the audit or we want more information or this or that. They just need to work through staff as opposed, but others.
Karen, let me make one quick comment on this, if I may. It is basic in the way at least corporations operate with an audit committee, that the auditor has the ability to talk to the audit committee independent of management.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, you just talked about being able to deal with the vendor directly, okay? That is a direct dealing with the vendor, with the audit committee. And the whole concept here is that if there is an issue that the auditor is uncomfortable sharing in some form with the management, they have the ability with that independent conversation to express their concerns, their problems, their issues, be questioned on it. In other words, there's a very basic role here for an audit committee that is not independent that is separate from management and dealing with that outside vendor, so.
Maybe we're talking apples.
Or just come to the board, I mean.
Along with Karen saying, who would approach them and do the contract with them? I think that's kind of, I understand where you're coming from, and I've got the same sort of concern. So who would be the one contacting him, doing the contracts, all that stuff? How does it go?
Yeah, the logistics, I think, go through staff. The issues of the audit, I understand with an audit committee, that, and if there's an, the difference, I think, between the corporate world and the public sector world is, if there's a problem with the auditor coming to a board and saying, I've got a problem with your management, I don't want to hire that audit firm. They need to be independent and strong enough to say to us in some fashion, you've got a problem. If they shouldn't feel scared or concerned to talk to us or to staff. But go ahead.
Yeah, I got to go back about 3 minutes. How did this recommendation come? Is this a staff recommendation, or was it something from the trustees?
I requested that this be on the agenda, but it came out of a couple of different discussions we've had over the last year where this issue came up. Well, if we had an audit committee, then that would have been one of the functions of the audit committee. But it is also, is it not something that the 37 Act systems are starting to put in place?
So my next question. Okay, so it's originating from a trustee's position. My next question is, and which is where you were going, how many 37 Act counties do you know of have an audit committee now?
There are a few. We haven't gone through and checked each one, but there are several 37 Act boards that have appointed a standing audit committee with ranging categories of jurisdiction, if you will.
Okay.
It tends to be the larger, I think it tends to be the larger pension funds.
Uh-huh. Okay. What I have, and I've been sitting on the board for 10 years now, and my experience in the past has been that if we had a concern about, and maybe I'm wrong, if we had a concern that, and my concern, actually it was a concern I had a long time ago, about whether or not Siegel was providing the outside information, was providing it. And as a board member at that time, I requested that we do an audit on Siegel. And the board voted to do an audit on Siegel. And we paid for that, and somebody audited Siegel and his stuff, and then they made a presentation to us. So I always thought if there was an audit question, we could, as a board, just bring it up and discuss it and say, okay, let's do something about it. And when I look at the auditors that are auditing our system, which is Brown and Associates, if they don't have the guts to come to me and say, hey, this is a fallacy that I found out, I would be really discouraged with their product and immediately start a process to look. So do we need an audit committee to do that part of it, or can't we just do that as a board? Is there really, I know what you're saying in private industry, that flow of information is easier and occurs easier, but I don't know if that happens in the public.
Well, my instincts are that there is very real merit in having a much smaller group that is specializes to some degree, at least agrees to specialize in terms of sitting on the audit committee to deal with both the, you're talking about an actuarial audit, mm-hmm. which is different, of course, from a financial statement audit.
Right.
And both, I would think, sort of naturally fit in this category. You are much more likely to get candid, complete responses. I want to stay away from words like guts. No one's ever going to admit they don't have the courage or the guts or this or that. But you're much more likely to get, I think, a full description of what the issue may be in a
okay,
much
so then
group.
If you get a full description in committee,
you can tell us.
Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't you tell the whole board?
Well, yeah, why don't you come to the whole board?
Well, it's a little bit more time spent than the hour we get here. And
well, we can schedule as much time as we need. I don't. And I'll tell you another concern I have, and, you know, maybe it's just my issue, and we're all busy. I'm not saying that one is busier than the other.
You've been reading my notes.
But the issue is, it seems that a lot of our committees are always those who have schedules that can go on these trips and do that. And I think that's great. I'm thrilled that you can do it. But it seems to me, now that I've been on here a year and a half, that a lot of our labor representatives, because they have day jobs, so to speak, are not able to participate as much as I would like that diversity in that group. So if there is, you know, and I see Todd shaking his head, and he's a financial person, if he's able to serve in addition to his other duties, I would be a little more comfortable. I don't want it just to be the at-large people serving on the committee is where I'm going, and I'm being very frank. But
I just don't agree with you there, Karen, because I've sat on many of these committees, and there is always at least one or two labor representatives, and we always have a split of two labor and two appointed.
I've never seen
a committee on this board in the 3 years, 3.5 years I've been on this board. I've never seen a committee where there was not an even split.
We've had a lot of changeover in our labor representatives, is my only point. But I'm talking about a separate meeting if they can participate.
They do. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know of any other committees we've set up since.
Because you're not on them.
The Cortex.
I'm here when you set them up.
We haven't had any standing committees.
That's my point.
We've had ad hoc committees.
We've had ad hoc committees, yes.
Can I break in here and just take a step back for a minute? The Government Finance Officers Association, the GFOA, it is a best practice of theirs that public pension boards do have an audit committee. They actually have some excellent documentation, which if this committee is formed, you know, they would be privy to. But just to take a step back as far as, you know, you had mentioned the timing and why now and that kind of thing. In the past, CSERA hasn't had an internal auditor or compliance officer. We now have one who's been in place for a year or so now, and this audit committee would be working definitely with the external auditor, but also with a compliance officer. In some plans, they even have a dotted line reporting relationship to the audit committee. The way that I see the audit committee functioning is, you know, you meet on maybe a quarterly, I'm just throwing out different ideas. On a quarterly basis for maybe an hour or two. There's different topics that come up. We have the annual audit, that kind of thing. It's a deeper dive into some areas for the committee members. It doesn't take away from the full board looking at these issues, because whatever is discussed at the committee meeting is brought back to the full board. So I don't know if that helps or not.
That helps a lot. It puts me a lot more at ease with the process.
And from a governance standpoint, it's something that more and more plans are taking a look at and going towards. When I was with San Diego County, I worked a lot with their audit committee. They actually they called it the Budget, Finance, and Audit Committee. So the budget was actually brought to them and did a deeper dive before it went to the full board. I wouldn't be advocating for that this year, time-wise. But I hope that
your plate's full.
What expected benefit do you see out of it? I mean, what have we missed out on opportunities? What's the goal of us doing that? I'm not against it, I'm just curious what we're going to get out of it. What's our bang for a buck?
Well, in the memo, there's a policy proposal.
I know that, but
there's some benefits right there.
Okay. I mean, as far as bang for the buck, I think that it allows some of the board members to spend additional time kind of, like I mentioned, doing a deeper dive into some of these issues. It doesn't take away from the full board having the opportunity to look at some of these topics and vote on them as a full board, but really it provides more time so that certain folks can have a focused look at some of the issues relating to internal and external audit. Luke?
Okay, finish it.
That was it.
My concern is, I don't think it would happen, but the committee giving direction to the auditor without the board's knowledge and might be going against what the board wants, and the majority of the board wants. That's my concern with them. If there's a problem, they'll be giving direction to this auditor without the board knowing about it, and then we get something back that the whole board might not be comfortable with. If there's a problem, they could come to the whole board, hey, this is my problem, the board deals with it.
Well, one thing is how the committee is structured. What I've seen happen is if they're looking for an external auditor, the audit committee would be more part of that RFP process. And then that they would bring a recommendation back to the full board.
All right, but that you do that with an ad hoc committee. Yeah, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The standing committee is really needed.
It almost like your branch off next would be investments. You have a small group of investments where we look at. I'm kind of going where Louie's going. Like, I don't know. Ad hoc sounds good, but ongoing, I just don't see the benefit right now.
What we could do is begin with an ad hoc committee. If it turns out that there's a long-term benefit of that continuing, then we could convert it to a standing committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that. We're kind of feeling our way. Well.
So I think in terms of governance, I think it's a good choice. In terms of how we structure this, I mean, when you set up a committee, the board has the opportunity to set what the responsibilities that you've included in your memo include, but also in timing and what kind of authority they have. Mm-hmm. So we could easily structure this for the first year for the ad hoc committee to have a certain amount of authority that we all agree upon that they have and then present to us, and so we can make decisions. And then moving forward, if we do move to a standing committee, we could, of course, modify that or change that. Lastly, off subject, I want to just comment on Karen's comment about labor not having the opportunity to participate.
Not having, but just
scheduling.
Timing.
Scheduling.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so Searle, when you become a labor representative, a trustee of the board, your primary responsibility is the board. Okay. So per scheduling and stuff like that.
Great.
At least my position, I prioritize it with the fire service.
There's legislation that says that. We got it passed years ago. Because it used to be what you said. We couldn't participate because unless you took vacation time or you did a shift trade, that's how you came to meetings.
That's true with safety, but that's not true with the
appointment.
And
no one's doing my job right now. I assume someone's doing Will's job if he had a shift here and everything.
I have to give a month advance notice because I'm online. They have to replace me. So I'm along with you're saying. I can't just.
I just want us to be sensitive to it. I'm not saying. I've been more watchful of people who have been able to go on the investment trips and the this and that. If there was a mix, and I appreciate, I agree, it's a good governance. Mm-hmm. And if I guess it'll be, and I'm sorry to use this term because I always give my board members, if the devils are in the details about what that reporting is, because as Louis says, if the audit committee does see something and feels the need to direct the external auditor or whatever, the compliance officer, I want them to come back and tell us. If we have to do that in closed session, that's fine for whatever legal restrictions. But I want to know about it before. I don't want a small committee knowing, we noticed a problem, and so we're going to direct this and have them all do that. I want all of us to know about the problem.
Well, it's done, yeah.
Rusty, go ahead.
No, just one comment, though. I mean, it seems like we've had a standing finance committee one time, and then decided to bring it back to the board, let the whole board be the committee. Is that correct?
We had an admin committee and an investment committee.
Right, and all it's done is it's involved everybody, but it's also made the meetings very long.
Yeah.
Okay, and if we're not opposed to having long meetings, then we can also make this the audit committee as well. But if we are short on time and not all of us can participate in an all-day affair, and we could delegate to a smaller group of us to be the standing audit committee or the finance committee, whatever, to take care of the business and then bring it back and give a summary to the rest of the board. So
that's
really up to how we want to spend our time. If we want to all be involved the whole way through, then,
I agree,
look at the clock and agree to be here all day long.
I guess I think maybe the idea would be good, Brian, your idea, and to let's put a committee
maybe
in place.
Maybe take one step back even from that. How about appointing an ad hoc committee to come back with recommendations to the board about how to set up
an ad hoc committee or
audit committee?
I mean, that was said.
Because if it's an all day thing, that doesn't sound like something that I would be able to do, but. Maybe it's so that's a great idea.
I mean, they could look at, the ad hoc committee could look at other systems that have a committee.
Yeah, I'd like to know the other systems.
And get how they do it and formulate the plan of what we can do.
To Rusty's point of making the whole board the audit committee, I think that would defeat the purpose of the audit committee. I think to get them in a limited, you know, a more informal setting where, you know, you can have a more candid back and forth. I get audited every year. I've gone through a half dozen, you know, different auditing firms, and I can tell you staff have sway on what you're going to see. They have, you know, no one worth their salt is going to, you know, let staff talk you out of something material. But there can be a lot of things on the edges that, you know, if I sat down with our auditor, mm-hmm. and they're going to tell me things that they're not going to say in front of Vicky and in front of Gail, and nor would it be appropriate for them to. But we would get a sense of, you know, where staff is having influence and to what degree. And I think if you bring it out here, you're just not going to get that.
No, I agree. I'm just making a point.
We are the audit committee right now.
Remember, an ad hoc committee, we're not governed by the news. Well, no, by the Brown Act.
Brown Act.
That whereas as a standing committee, like we this are. Committee, our board, we would be. So yeah. We have that issue to deal with. Point. And if the auditor wanted to call a last minute meeting with the committee, again, depending on what kind of committee it is, would we need to, would we be governed by Brown Act or not, if it's a standing or ad hoc committee?
Karen?
Let me go through some of the things that I highlighted in my memo first so that we have kind of an idea of what this will look like. This will not be a secret committee that goes and has dialogue with certain individuals. This will be a committee, a smaller group of board members meeting just like we are today with a posted public agenda, providing the public an opportunity to comment. And give notice to the public about the meeting and allow people to come. The committee meeting, therefore, will not be behind the scenes with a standing committee. One of the things that I think was highlighted from your discussion today is you need to have a clear delegation, if you will, to the committee of what it is that you want the committee to look at. Is it the external auditor? Is it something else? Is it compliance reports? So we do have a list here in the memo of some possibilities. What we're recommending is for the board to begin looking at a written policy or a charter for the audit committee to follow. It would talk about what it is that the committee will be doing. I have that listed, I think, in the memo. It'll state that the committee cannot actually take any action. It can make recommendations to the full board, and the full board is the only one with the authority to take action. And so we think that the first step should be for us to come back to you with a draft audit committee charter that sets out all of these items in writing, and you can discuss those and decide if you want to add or change to those. The idea about forming an ad hoc audit committee right now, I'm not comfortable with. An ad hoc committee is a committee for a limited purpose, limited duration. We're now talking about having this ongoing process of having an audit committee. I don't feel that an ad hoc committee is the right way to go at this point.
So your recommendation is to form a committee to come back with recommendations on what an audit committee would look like.
We can do that by bringing back a proposed charter for the full board to consider. And then the full board can tell us.
Would you want trustee input in that, or would you want to do that yourself?
At the full board meeting, yes.
At the full board meeting,
yeah,
where you'll have
the groundwork and the research,
a written draft that you can tweak.
Okay.
So every time the committee meets, then there's always a public meeting?
It's always a public meeting. Now, with an ad hoc committee, because it's for a limited purpose and a limited duration, it's not subject to the Brown Act. We really only do that on the rarest occasions.
We don't want to
get into the practice of doing that for every single thing that comes up.
The question was, well, there may be something they don't want to tell the staff. So they become this small group, but if it's public, it's going to be, seem like a conflict.
But I can tell you, the conversation is very different when our auditors come and they sit before our board up on the dais, as opposed to a public meeting that's, you know, agendized and everything, that's held in a smaller venue with fewer people. Yes, the public can come to the for our finance committee meetings, I don't recall ever seeing a member of the public who wasn't like an employee who's just there on his own. It's just a different conversation. I wasn't trying to imply that it would be a secret meeting, but just the limited number of people just naturally brings people's comfort level up, and you know, you just get more information passed along. That's my experience.
Rusty, then. Well, just one quick comment too about your memo. You said that all other board members could sit in on the meeting.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. As can any member of the public.
Okay, just to make the point.
And I think really, again, your memo is about creating that policy. And if this board takes a vote and says we want everybody on the board sitting here to be on the audit committee, then it can continue just as it has always been, but at least we'll have this policy of guidelines of the things that the audit committee addresses.
My last comment. I'm sorry, you had your hand up.
It's okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No.
Absolutely, no.
Will you please go?
No, I want you to go.
Age before.
I want you to go.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Age first, okay. My last comment, I like the report. As an individual on this board, I will have no interest in doing it. This is not my expertise. It's not where I lie in life. I like figures, but it's not my expertise. So other board members will have to, if we develop an audit committee, we'll have to step up because it's not mine. But I do like, okay, come back. And in that report, tell me how many other 37 Act counties have it.
Sure.
And whether or not it has really helped their administrator and their audit, their compliance officer. And that's what I would be looking for in that report. And I'm kind of leaning towards, yeah, okay, let's do it. But I just want that other piece of information to make me comfortable.
Would you limit to just the 37 Act, or would you look at other retirement systems?
No, I want to help from 37 Act. I know CalPERS is so big and CalSTRS is so big. They probably have them because they're that big. But I'm looking at what our fellow.
Well, I'm going back to Gail's point about the GFOA recommending this. And they may have other examples outside of California that we might want to consider. They have good arguments for why you can set up a audit committee.
I don't want her to spend 10 years trying to put together a report.
Just trying to give her the opportunity in case you wanted to research other.
You can share anything anecdotally that you would like to share with us.
We'll do that.
There you go. So I'm actually okay. I've sort of crossed the Rubicon on the policy issue. I think that having a standing audit committee makes a lot of sense, and it's appropriate for an entity of our size. And I appreciated your comments about ad hoc versus standing. I think you're right on that. I think as good as an idea, concept-wise, as it was to sort of ease into it, I think you either are or you aren't, you know, a standing committee. So it struck me that at least at a minimum, you're in your memo, Romanet 1 and 2 on page 1, which are the review of recommendations of CSRS staff, the outside auditor, and reviewing and addressing audit and compliance review findings. At a minimum, to me, that is the basic foundational structure of a standing audit committee, and I'd be prepared to move that today with the understanding that a committee be established and come back with a broader review of what other, you know, county systems may do, what other systems period, you know, do. And I would strongly encourage, not require, but strongly encourage that the membership on that committee be robust and have both employee organization as well as the, I don't know what we're considered, the appointed trustees.
At large.
Simply because I think breadth and diversity on that committee is essential to its functioning. It just strikes me that way. So I'm prepared to make that motion. I don't know what the sentiment is here, but I'm prepared
I'll
to move.
I'll second the motion because I agree with you. We don't... as Will said, and you used the word, used governance, you used policy. It is a good policy. I want to get us there. I was just concerned about communication, and I think that will be further refined, defined, when you come back with this charter, along with the information that we need to be moving in that era, or towards that puck. Let's get to where
Get to where the puck's going to be.
Is that a motion?
So, your motion?
So my motion is that we move to establish a standing audit committee with its initial charge being items Romanette 1 and Romanette 2 in Karen Levy's October 22, 2014 memo in our packet, and direct that the audit committee should be formed and return with further recommendations regarding scope of audit committee functions and a sampling or an understanding, a survey of what other systems, public, private, county, or otherwise, do with respect to their audit committee. And lastly, as part of the motion, was to strongly encourage, not require, but strongly encourage membership on that committee from both employee organizations and appointed trustees, because I think it needs to have a healthy membership to be credible and functional.
Now, can I add to that the staff should probably need to assist? I don't know if everybody on the board knows who to contact at the 1937 Act. So I like what you're saying, but I don't know if I would have the ability to contact, get all this information. So
agreed. I guess my motion would be that our executive officer and legal counsel be directed to conduct that survey and assist the committee in reporting back.
The board may be required to actually amend its regulations to establish this standing committee. The process of that is for the board to first take action to amend the regulation, and then the regulation goes over to the Board of Supervisors for their vote. And only after that can we actually have the amendment be effective.
Can I suggest that your motion is to direct staff to do the process for us to establish a standing committee? That covers
move towards
everything.
That goal.
Is that true on January 2, 2015?
Yeah.
Yes.
Even then it's still true?
Yes.
Okay, because of the plan sponsor. Okay, that's right. I want to make sure I understood
that. Twice on something.
So. I was kind of hoping that staff was going to come back to the full board with information and recommendations before we put together a committee. I kind of see it maybe putting the cart before the horse, mm-hmm. in that we may not want to set up a separate standing committee, but make the entire board the standing audit committee. After we get some information back from staff.
Well, can the motion, Scott, be that you're moving, that the board is directing staff to come back with another report on what the process is for moving forward, how this would be established, what the timing is, with the request, I mean.
Well, I was actually moving, I want to get to where the puck's going to be in terms of, just to stay with the hockey metaphor. I mean, I'm looking at the recommendation that was in the memo. So I guess I would move that we direct staff, executive officer, and general counsel to take all necessary actions and report back for the establishment of a standing audit committee together with a survey of the practices of other plans, public, private, CalPERS 37 Act, and to bring that back. But the motion is to direct staff to bring back a proposal to establish the Standing Audit Committee along with all of the considerations set forth in the General Counsel's October 22 memo, including whatever process is necessary to get the concurrence of the plan sponsor. That's my motion.
And that's my second.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought included in your motion was established.
To establish.
Initially, I did, okay. But I changed.
Okay. All right. I can live with that.
Because it sounds like we've got a cart horse problem, so if I can't get around the cart horse.
Okay. Scott, could you just repeat that just real quick?
You're killing me.
Oh, well.
I wonder, repeat it as Gail.
So what I have, Scott, is that you would like to direct staff, the CEO and general counsel, to come back, report back on the creation of a standing audit committee, conduct a survey of other plans, 37 Act, CalPERS, other related plans, and what they do relating to the audit committee, and also come back with a report on the process of how one would be determined.
Yeah, I actually, what I wanted to include was to take all necessary steps to bring back what is necessary to create the audit committee.
Right. Right. So at our next meeting,
this isn't an informational item. This is, here's what it is. This is the direction to you to create the audit committee, and then, you know.
Vote on it.
So there's
with
a direction.
The background information,
right,
of
correct.
What the other
taking
things.
It all that into account, and I do think that the direction to you should include encouraging membership on the committee to be from both employee organizations and the management appointees.
Well, along that line, so we have separate bylaws just for the committee that's spelled out, but you know what its makeup will be, and there's going to be a chair and a vice chair and all that stuff. It's a standing committee.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would hope that Karen mm-hmm.
we'll come back
that.
With
going
a draft
with that.
Audit committee charter that will address all of those.
Not ad hoc, standing.
So, Scott, you added that you want us to take come back with all the necessary steps needed to create the audit committee.
Correct.
You don't want us to actually,
Yeah, because you can't create it, so it's everything that would take to create it, because only the board.
So that we can just say yay or nay, we want to vote on doing an audit committee.
Okay.
We've got all the information.
Will. Quick question. Karen, the charter you said that goes before the Board of Supervisors sounds like a long process, but in terms of changing their responsibilities, because Scott initially said items, I think sub 1 and 2 was the initial.
At a minimum, right.
Right. But if we change that and expand it or contract it, does it have to then go through the process again in front of the Board of Supervisors?
Charter does not have to go before the Board of Supervisors at all. It's simply the change to the board regulations that will have to go through that process. So it'll be, if we recommend doing that, it'll be very general. And if the board later on decides to change, amend the charter itself, add more categories mm-hmm. or modified categories, the board will be able to do that independently of the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
And the way I see it, to the question is, whatever we decide here, if we're able to take action at the meeting that this is on, if it's the next meeting or the one following, this is a consent item before the Board of Supervisors. We'll just get it on the consent calendar and it'll be real quick.
Mm-hmm. Again, clarification, the board regulation that we're asking the Board of Supervisors to approve only applies to the idea that we're going to create a standing committee.
Yes.
Purpose, right?
It's so nothing else.
Go into details what that
And means. We may even write it in such a general way that it could apply to future standing committees that the board might want to look into.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So it's just going to generally establish the authority of the Board of Retirement to establish a standing committee or an ad hoc committee. And then in terms of actually deciding to establish a standing committee and what the charter looks like, that would be exclusively within the province of the retirement board to do.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And at your convenience, as far as bringing it back, it doesn't need to be in the next meeting or the next couple of meetings.
Well, especially
well,
we
were
if
shooting
on the
for
5th.
November, but
well, whatever amount of time it takes to put together what you feel is appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay, item A, consider authorizing.